Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, welcome to Radio Islam International. Welcome to the program Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The time right now is just about 12 minutes past 10. Alhamdulillah. First up this morning is Monday Morning Focus. And this morning on this Focus program, I'll be speaking to 9th Dan, Grandmaster of Karate and Self-Defense Expert, Soki Solih Said. Alhamdulillah. Now, he, in association with the Gift of the Givers, will be running a course for women this month. And as we all know, it is, Women's Month. And, you know, there's so many things happening this month, alhamdulillah. Well, we'll be speaking to him in a little while. And that will be followed by Socially Speaking with Maulana Mohammed Venker. And Maulana Venker is currently in Saudi Arabia. We will be trying to catch up on the latest news just a few days prior to the greatest event in the life of a Muslim, alhamdulillah. Hopefully we want to talk a little about his trip to what he has been doing until now in Medina. I think he is in Makkah right now, and of course a little bit about the days leading up to Hajj, inshallah. So that's what you can look forward to for the next hour. So first up then is Monday Morning Focus, and this morning we have Soki Solih Said with us. Assalamu alaikum, Soki Solih Said. How are you this morning?
Alhamdulillah, and wa alaikum salam, and salamu alaikum to all your listeners. Thank you for having me on your radio station this morning.
Alhamdulillah, it's wonderful to have you with us. It's an honor, alhamdulillah, to be speaking to you, Soki Solih Said. Now, just a little about the Gift of the Givers Foundation. Yes. We all know that the Gift of the Givers Foundation is involved in many projects, providing aid on an ongoing basis and extending support to many countries experiencing intense human suffering, countries like Syria and Yemen and Palestine and Somalia, etc. And, of course, also here in our country, in Africa, you know, neighboring African countries too. Alhamdulillah. Perhaps you would just like to give us a little of information with regards to that, a little more you can tell us about the Gift of the Givers Foundation?
Yes, definitely. It's just an amazing organization. I mean, the leadership, Dr. Suleiman and Gauteng, Alauddin Sayed, and they're just amazing people who really are selfless in their work and in their passion to help people. You know what I mean? And yes, we know that they do work around the world, but they also do a lot of work internally in South Africa too. You know what I mean? We don't always hear about it much in South Africa, but their work in South Africa is amazing. Well, like I say, we got to take care of our immediate family and our immediate people, on our doorstep before we look outside. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So they have such amazing hands and such amazing support as well, that they are able to do work internally and externally and all around Africa and around the world where necessary. So yes, we've been in association with them for several years now. We've run several tournaments, which have been benefit tournaments, that together with Gift of the Givers, we raise funds and we pass it on to different needy charity organizations. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very very honored and pleased to be able to work again with them. We decided to do a self defense program at Bramley, at the Gift of the Givers Logistics Center in Bramley. On Saturday, this is the 26th of August.
Mm-hmm.
We're starting at 2 o'clock and we're going to go up to 4 o'clock. It's free of charge for women, women of all ages, mothers, grandmothers, children, girls, young girls, everyone is welcome.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd like it to really be well attended, so that we can make people aware. The important thing is most of the women that are being abused, women that are, that are scared because of the crime in our country, are not aware that there are these kind of programs that can at least empower you. The two-hour program is not going to make you an expert in self-defense.
Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah,
but it's going to make you aware of of certain things. Like, for example, I'll teach you, we'll teach you things about making people aware of the weapons you have in your home. Cooking spray is a great weapon. We don't realize it. You think it's for cooking and spraying, you know what I mean? Or cooking, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But you can spray it in somebody's eye. And you know where it is, for example, in your kitchen, you know what I mean? And you can work your way around it and get to it and do something. You can use your broomstick, you can use your whelan, you know, your roti whelan, you know? You can use your bunch of car keys if you are, you know, in a situation. Your handbag is, for example, a fantastic shield, you know what I mean? You can actually use it to shield yourself from the person trying to hit you or stab you, whatever the case may be, you know what I mean? And those are little practical things that we want to make people aware, women aware of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and also things like, you know, stuff like when you come out of the shopping mall and you got parcels in your trolley that you want to put into your boot, you don't bend. You don't open your boot and bend in so that, you know, you give a blind sight to yourself completely and you bend and push things deep into the boot. All a person will do is come and push the boot, you know, down onto your back and then take control of everything. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So little things like just being aware, just being a bit more cognizant about where you are, what you are doing, and not being, you know, too mindless when you are out there in the marketplace. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And especially these days, you know, I think we really, really need to be so aware of what is happening around us.
Yeah.
And, you know, many a times we have ways and means of protecting ourselves, but you know, when the moment comes, you really don't know what to do. So I'm sure you'll be teaching them, you know, yourself a little bit of self-confidence, and
yes,
you know, be able to know what to do in a situation.
Right. So very good question. The thing here is, in it, I want people to know that for this course, that, and any of my courses, there's no, you don't have to, you don't even have prior training. You don't have to be a martial artist. You don't have to be any, you know, housewife, or a secretary, an accountant, whatever you might be, a lawyer. You can come as you are. You don't have to be fit. You don't have to be thin. You don't have to be overweight. You don't have to be whatever it is. You just come as you are. This is about awareness. This is about mindfulness. This is about giving you some tools that you can use in a situation that can save your life and maybe your family's life. You know what I mean? By just being alert. So come as you are. There's no need for anything, no, any special prior training or whatever it is. You don't have to, like I said, be fit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So no fitness level is necessary.
Age. I will explain, sorry to cut you, I will explain the three-prong program that I'll be working on. The three-prong program is awareness, then we talk about fitness, and fitness is going to be about telling people how to just do some light exercises every day of their life for their own health and benefits, you know what I mean?
Mm.
So 20 minutes three times a week, half an hour three, two, four times a week, walking, just brisk walking. You don't need to be in a gym, you don't need to do anything. Anyone over 35, 40, you know what I mean, who has not trained, has none of those kind of, has never had the passion to train, whatever the case may be, you can just do that. But we'll talk about that in the program much more in detail as well, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then the third stage of the three-pronged program is confidence, as you mentioned earlier. Confidence, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You will not, you know, it's like I say, you must love yourself enough to want to defend yourself. I don't mean in a vain way, I mean in a loving way of yourself, that you are a person worthy of who you are, you know what I mean? So if you're a person and you believe that you are worthy of who you are and that no one has the right to touch your face with anything, you know what I mean, or come near you, you know, I'll explain your arm length around you, in the circumference of your arm around you, is your undisputed territory. That's your, if you could read your aura, if you could see your aura, that's how far your aura extends. The more spiritual and deeper person, the more profound person you are, aura can extend to twice that length, or even sometimes more than that. Now, when you're aware, when you're sharp, and your reflexes are slightly sharpened, what happens is, like an animal, you'll sense anyone coming into that area of yours, in your undisputed area, your arm's length, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So there's special training to do this. This is about increasing your ability to react and your reflexes. So we'll do a little bit of that kind of work as well. As I said, in a two-hour program, you know, there'll be also discussion, there'll be also questions answered, to be answered, you know what I mean? So we can't do a lot. Now, between your wrist and your longest finger, your middle finger, which is your longest finger, I hope, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's 15 deadly weapons that you can use.
My goodness. And I'm sure none of us are really aware of it.
No,
I certainly am not.
Absolutely. We think it's for, you know, holding a spoon or a fork or chopsticks or eating with your fingers, and, you know, washing your hands or washing your feet, whatever it is that you're doing, washing your face. But it's more than that. Your hands, the Almighty in His wisdom, has given us amazing weapons and tools. And in the martial arts and karate, we say the entire body is a weapon. But you must know how to use it. So, in karate, we make you aware of how you can use the different weapons of your body, where you don't need to have a gun, you don't need to have a knife, you don't need to have a stick or anything. You just, by knowing how to use the different weapons, like I said, 15 weapons from your wrist to your middle finger, I will only be teaching maybe two or three of them. Because I don't want people going away and forgetting everything they taught that they learned in 2 hours. Yeah. I want them to take one thing with them. And one thing would be, for example, kick him in the groin, poke him in the eyes, and run like hell. You know what I mean? I use that as my philosophy. You know what I mean?
Yes,
so you kick him in the groin, poke him in the eyes, and run like hell. You know, so, yes. There will be little things that we'll tell people. For example, we'll explain, you know, I have another little word. We say, yell and tell, you know. So you shout, and then you tell about it. You don't keep quiet about it. You yell and you tell, you know what I mean?
I think this would be ideal for little children.
Yes.
You know, because I was just going to ask you something with regards to little children. You know, they are so, you know, so in
vulnerable.
The danger point now. They're so vulnerable at the moment.
Yes.
And we hear so many, you know, stories about children being kidnapped and things like that. So really, I think we as parents really need to, you know, arm ourselves with some kind of defense.
Absolutely. Now, the second program after this, which will be this Women's Self-Defense program, inshallah, we're going to have it continuously, hoping to run a few of them in Indonesia and other parts of Johannesburg as well, and hopefully around the country as well. The next most we as South Africans are facing, forget all the politics and everything else that we have problems with, we have this women abuse crisis. It's a crisis. You know, it's not something to take lightly. It has reached proportions that are very bad, you know what I mean, right? Then the next one is, well, it's not even the next one, it's actually on par with women abuse, and that is bullying at school, or bullying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we're going to also do programs for children, girls and boys about bullying, because bullying is big. I get this, because we teach at different schools, and I get these calls all the time about children being bullied, and that how they hate to go to school and want to fall out of school and things because of bullying, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that one afterwards, inshallah. This Women's Self-Defense Program is right now the priority, because it's on Saturday, this coming Saturday, the 26th of August. And for us, we're not looking at Women's Month as August and at the end of that. No, this must continue, right?
Yeah.
This must continue, right? So,
inshallah. Okay, just another question that I have for you.
Yes.
You know, with regards to this whole program, I know you said it's something for women only.
Yes.
Who actually will be teaching and conducting this program?
Now, you know, Zinat, I mean, your own daughter's trained with me for many years. She's also highly ranked, you know, black belt in karate. We've got many senior people. I've got students of mine, women that have reached the level of 15, which is very, very high. Some of them are the highest ranking women in the continent, you know what I mean?
Mm.
So we will be taking some of them with us. We will take women, because I want the women to see women that are able to do this art, you know what I mean?
Mm.
And do it so successfully. So I will be maybe conducting the entire program myself, you know, I'll run the workshop, but with the assistance of a lot of my black belt women. So, and then also, we will be taking some black belt men with me so that I can use them as the baddies, you know, the bad guys attacking the women, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Because, I mean, we must face the reality. I know we understand, you know, women will say, but I don't want to be with men, I mean, we don't want to work with men, whatever it is. In the real life situation, a woman is not going to be attacking you on that street or in that shopping mall or in that parking lot. It's going to be a man. And if you are only used to defending yourself against other women, you're not going to be able to defend yourself against this man. You know what I mean?
Yes, definitely.
Right? So we have to look at these things practically. And people with hijab, you know, with niqab and hijab and everything, they're welcome to come. Because, I mean, we run classes where women are wearing this and training. You know what I mean?
Alhamdulillah. Well, we do wish you all the best, Brother Salih Said, for, with this program that you have. And I think it's such an important program for all women to actually attend if they can. Are there any charges involved here?
No, it's free of charge. This is the thing. It's free of charge. It is, like I said, I'm going to be conducting the program with, in association with Gift of the Givers. The Gift of the Givers are literally sponsoring this whole program so that women can enjoy these benefits that are there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, inshallah. Yeah. And then also I want to tell you that we are through the Gift of the Givers branch in La Nature. We also hope to be very soon in September running a women's self-defense program right there for women as well, okay?
Inshallah.
And then the address is 22 Orchard Street, Bramley. It's just off Collar Drive in Bramley, all right?
Okay.
And and it'll start at 2:00 sharp, and we should be finished by 4:00.
Okay, do you need to, book a place, or is that not important? You just come.
No,
everybody can.
So for whoever comes, we're going to squeeze them in. The place is nice and it's spacious enough, and we will squeeze people in wherever it is. And like I said, it's a workshop. It's not going to be a be-all and end-all of a program. It's going to be something that you, you'll come and take away with you some valuable information that you can definitely, inshallah, be able to save your life, save your family's life, and at least get out of a precarious or difficult situation. You know what I mean?
Alhamdulillah. And I think, I'd like to end off with this by saying to, by educating and arming a woman, you're educating and arming a nation, inshallah.
A nation, 100%.
Well, thank you so much, Brother Salih Said. We do wish you all the best. And alhamdulillah, all our ladies out there, there's an opportunity for you. So please go out there and make use of this wonderful opportunity.
Yes.
If you want any more details, you can call up at the radio station. We do have the details with us. Perhaps you have a telephone number where they can contact, for more information.
They can contact us at 011-492-0642. That is the headquarters of the Solid States Karate.
Okay.
Or my cell phone number, 083-314-9941.
Okay.
All right. And inshallah, we'll give them all the information.
Okay, and just very quickly again, just for the benefit of our listeners again that may not have heard, what day is this happening on?
The 26th of August, is this coming Saturday.
This Saturday, okay.
Yes, at the Bramley Gift of the Givers Logistics Center.
Okay. Jazakallah khair, and
we wish you
all the best, inshallah.
Thank you very much, I appreciate it.
Okay.
And salams and all the best to you and your family as well.
Right? Jazakallah khair.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was 9th Dan Grand Master of Karate and Self-Defense Expert, Soki Salih Said. And he, in association with the Gift of the Givers, will inshallah be running a self-defense course for women on the 26th of August, inshallah. And it starts at 2:00. So if you want to, we have all the details. You can contact us a little later, the telephone number, if you want to know more, of course. And it's a women's month, and it's free of charge. So please make use of this. I think it's something so valuable for all of our women out there, inshallah. Well, when we come back, inshallah, we hope to be joining up with Maulana Muhammad Vinker in Saudi Arabia, and we want to talk a little about Medina, Makkah, and the days leading up to Hajj, inshallah. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zenith, and my guest right now is in the Holy Land of Saudi Arabia. Assalamu alaikum, Maulana Muhammad Vinker.
Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and assalamu alaykum to the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International. Barakallahu feekum and jazakallahu khairan. Barakallahu feek.
And first of all, Mulana, how are you, and you know, where are you at the moment?
Alhamdulillah, we are extremely well. We are in Makkah al-Mukarramah. You know, at the moment we arrived in Makkah a few days back. Alhamdulillah, we spent approximately 3 weeks in Madinah al-Munawwara. And thereafter we arrived in Makkah. Majority of the Hujjaj from South Africa, I would say approximately 90-95% have already arrived in Makkah al-Mukarramah. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Malana, basically what we want to do today is just talk a little about, you know, just give us a bit of update and news about the situation in Medina. We'll start off with Medina first, and then you can talk to us a little about Makkah. In Medina, what was it like? How many days were you there? And, you know, what was the situation and the atmosphere and the weather and the people? Everything that you can think of that you'd like to share with us, please.
Okay, barakallahu feek. With regards to Madinatul Munawwara, alhamdulillah, we had the good fortune of spending close on to 3 weeks in Madinatul Munawwara. Alhamdulillah, you know, to be in Madinatul Munawwara, it is a singular bounty from the side of Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. You know, despite the crowds being very, very big this year in Madinatul Munawwara, and people coming to Medina very, very early this year, and the heat has been quite intense. In fact, some days we're close to 50, and you know, in the higher 40s. But alhamdulillah, being in the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwara, it is a singular bounty from the side of Allah Tabaraka wa Taala. You know, just to be in Madinatul Munawwara, to interact with the people of Medina. You know, being in the neighborhood of the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, I don't think there are any words in any language, you know, to describe, you know, the feeling, or rather the ecstasy, a flush of spiritual ecstasy, a combination of anxiety coupled with love. You know, when you're in the blessed city of Medina, knowing very well that is that very ground, you know, where the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam is resting, that piece of ground, like Qadhi Iyaz has categorically explained, is that piece of ground is more beloved in the eyes of Allah than even the arsh of Allah. That piece of ground is more beloved in the eyes of Allah than even the Baytullah. So that is a sacred, you know, buqa, piece of ground on Mother Earth. So just to be on the ground, knowing very well that this is that ground where the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his august sahaba, his great companions, you know, had accompanied him on the journey of the hijrah, and the Nabi of Allah spent the latter part of his life, the last 10 years of his life, in Madinatul Munawwara. So really, when it comes to Madinatul Munawwara, that land is so rich with Islamic history. You know, when we go back in time, and we are sitting more than 1,438 years, you know, after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you still see, you know, traces of homes of, there is a masjid in Madinatul Munawwara, which is there from the time of the Sahaba. The original masjid is there from the time of the Sahaba. And like that, there is so much of history in Madinatul Munawwara. You know, we normally take the Hujjaj, they normally go to, you know, Masjid al-Quba, Masjid al-Qiblatain, Jabal Uhud, where the great battle of Uhud had taken place, where the battle of Khandaq, the battle of Ahzab. But apart from that, there are many, many historical places in Madinatul Munawwara. You know, this adds value to a person's life. This enhances a person's spirituality, and it definitely brings a person close to Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. You know, what is very pleasing to see, alhamdulillah, you know, you see some people, you speak to some Hujjaj who come from various different countries, and a person tells you that he's been preparing, or rather saving, to come on this journey for the last 40 years, for the last 50 years. Subhanallah. And you know, with what love that person comes to the blessed city of Medina, you know, Allah alone knows, you know, the love, the muhabba, you know, that person comes with when he stands in front of the Rawdah and he presents his salams at the Rawdah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So really, Madinatul Munawwara, it's a land which is rich with history. And most definitely, you know, the weakest of Muslims, you come there, you can feel that spiritual, you know, the positive energy. And if a person leaves from Medina and he doesn't touch you in some way or the other, you know, then definitely there's something wrong. So indeed, that is a, you know, blessed piece of ground. You know, there are so many books that have been written, and I've been encouraging the Hujjaj recently, and many, many books that have been written in the, you know, in the English language. There's an author who's based in Medina, Munawwara, Dr. Ilyas. you know, he's written a book on the pictorial history of Medina, and he goes into great detail. He takes you back in time, from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the time of the Sahaba, up to this present day and age, with regards to Masjid al-Nabawi, the extensions that we've done into the Masjid, historical places, you know, in the Masjid. So alhamdulillah, this is something, you know, which is absolutely amazing. And recently, there is a book that has been published, you know, speaking about the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madinah al-Munawwarah. This is an author who lives, who's based in Saudi Arabia, and he's gone into great detail. This book has been published, in fact, a few months ago. He speaks about the Hijrah and about those moments when the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered into the blessed city of Medina. And when you go to Masjid al-Quba, not far away from Masjid al-Quba, you know, the famous incident where those young girls, they welcomed the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into Medina al-Munawwara with those poetic words. And you're standing on the very ground, and you go back in time, and you try and reflect and ponder what a moment it must have been at that time when the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, entered the blessed city of Medina al-Munawwara. So Medina Munawwara is a land which is, you know, rich with Islamic history. You know, it's a land. The journey of Hajj is a journey, you know, I always say this, it's a journey of reflection. It's a journey of contemplation. It's a journey that takes you back in time. And it's a journey that re-energizes your iman. You know, it kickstarts your spirituality. It definitely brings you closer to the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, so being in Medina al-Munawwara, just being there even for a few moments, wallahi, it leaves an indelible impression, you know, on any person's heart, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah. And it certainly must be very, very sad leaving Medina.
Yes, always. You know, when you leave the blessed city of Medina, a person becomes attached to that city. You know, kalhamimi bilhamim, like the scholars have explained, it becomes, you create that bond, you know, that affinity and the closeness with the city of Medina. You know, you feel at home in that city. The people are so welcoming in the city. Not that the people in Makkah are not welcoming, but alhamdulillah, you know, in the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he had migrated to Medina to Al-Munawwara, the Nabi of Allah, the du'as that he made for Medina, he said, oh Allah, you blessed Medina, bless the city of Medina. So undoubtedly the du'a of Nabi alayhi salam, a manifestation of the du'a 1,400 years down the line, and this will continue right up to the end of time. Subhanallah. You know, just being in the neighborhood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Malala, you spoke about those books, the pictorial history of Medina and the Hijrah of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Are those books available in bookshops in Medina, or, you know, can you actually get them anywhere?
Yes, these books are available. In fact, you find them in most of the bookshops, like in Makkah al-Mukarramah, in Medina al-Munawwara. There are many, many of the shops that sell, you know, books in various different languages, and these books are available, you know, in most of the bookshops, even back home in South Africa and in the United Kingdom and in Australia. You go to the bookshops. This is a famous book that was written and translated into the English language some years ago. There are two books, in fact, by this particular author. It's called, you know, The History of Makkah and The Pictorial History of Medina. But having said that, in fact, yesterday, you know, I have been speaking to some of the Hajjaj, and unfortunately, you know, we haven't made an effort, you know, to study the language of Quran. You know, we have barred ourselves from volumes of Islamic knowledge. I'm in no way suggesting that we need to master the Arabic language, but I think we need to create that bond and that affinity with the language of Quran. Because these are places that you visit. In Makkah al-Mukarramah, when you go for Ziyarah, when you go to Medina al-Munawwara, when you travel through the land, through this blessed city of Medina, this is Manba'ul Wahi. This is that piece of ground where revelation came down to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you stand in front of the Rawdah, that area is so historical. You know, there are so many incidents. When you study the incidents that have taken place in the time of the Sahaba, that this particular incident, the Nabi of Allah mentioned this at that particular spot. The Sahabi had done that at that spot. Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab was performing Salah on that spot when Abu Lu'lu al-Majusi, you know, had stabbed him 7 times in that Salatul Fajr. This is the place where the house of Sayyidina Osman radiallahu ta'ala used to be, where Sayyidina Osman was assassinated, where Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala used to stay. So really, you know, this It's a flush of spiritual ecstasy. You know, when a person stands and you reflect and you contemplate, I always say this, is that for a person to understand, you know, you travel to any country of the world, you study the history of that country, and I suppose that adds value. And yet again, it's not from an emotional level, but from a spiritual level. You know, this energizes a person, you know, spiritually, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, and it's absolutely amazing just listening to Maulana talk about, you know, the city of Medina. Alhamdulillah, it makes, I'm sure people sitting, you know, everywhere else listening to the program would probably be thinking, I wish I was there. In any case, Maulana, we're taking a short break. When we come back, we'll be talking a little about Makkah and the days leading to Hajj. Inshallah, stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program, Socially Speaking. And my guest, as you know, is Maulana Muhammad Venker, and he's currently in Makkah Mukarrama, alhamdulillah. Maulana, let's talk a little about Makkah Mukarrama. Please give us a little bit of news. Is there anything new happening in Makkah Mukarrama? You know, anything different from previous years?
Okay. Generally, the Hajjaj, they from South Africa, travel to Madinatul Munawwara first, and then after they journey onwards towards Makkatul Mukarrama. When you get to Makkah, you know, the experience is a little different in terms of the crowds are much bigger. Yeah. You know, in terms of you know, the environment in Makkah, you find that the people, the temperament in Makkah of the people of Makkah is a little different to the people of Madinatul Munawwara. But nonetheless, with regards to Makkah, many of the Hajjaj, many of them, it's the first time that they are embarking on this journey of Hajj or Abu Umrah. You know, they have seen footage, they have seen visuals, they have seen pictures. But when they arrive in Makkah, you see the huge skyscrapers and, you know, what Makkah used to be. The other day I was speaking to a Haji who came in the early 1980s, and he was sharing with me his experience, you know, the hotels and how they lived, under what conditions, you know, the gullies of Makkatul Mukarrama, you know, that you will not find in the precincts of the, you know, of the Haram. So alhamdulillah, we find that there are a lot of these, a lot of renovation that have taken place, you know, up to about 2 years ago. You know, the Haram is much bigger now, mashallah. But yet again, you know, very, very sadly, unfortunately, the Islamic, you know, history has, you know, a lot of it is not accessible any longer. You know, most of it has been removed due to the extension, you know, of the Haram. But nonetheless, being in Makkah Sul Mukarramah, the Hajjaj, you know, they spend approximately maybe 10 days or rather 2 weeks in Makkah Sul Mukarramah. And thereafter, they make their way to Aziziya. Aziziya is a suburb which is approximately 4 to 5 kilometers out of Makkah Sul Mukarramah, you know, the days leading on to Hajj. You know, so just being in Makkah Sul Mukarramah, being in the presence of Baytullah, you know, sitting in front of, you know, the Ka'abatul Musharrafa, this is something which is an absolutely amazing. No matter how many times you look at Baytullah, you know, the spiritual energy that is disseminated from the Baytullah, you know, like we had mentioned, this is Manba'ul Wahi. This is that piece of ground where we reflect, we go back in time, in the time of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, you know, when he had built the Baytullah with his son Sayyidina Ismail. And then you take a few steps out of the Haram Sharif, you're in the place which is known as Mawlidun Nabi, where the blessed birth of the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taken place, where the house of Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha used to be. So yeah, again, this is a land which is rich with Islamic history. So we've been advising the Hujjaj that unfortunately, you know, today when we go on Ziyarah, one of the places that we visit is the cave of Hira, Jabal Nur, where the first revelation had come down to the Nabi of Allah. And when we go back, we reflect over that. What was the first revelation that came down in Quran al-Kareem? Iqra, the read. Unfortunately, today we know very little of our Islamic history. So we need to, inshallah, study our history. And I promise you, this will this will re-energize your spirituality. This will add value to your belief system. And this will definitely bring you closer to Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. So, you know, Makkatul Mukarrama has its own flavor. Medina has its own flavor. Makkah has its virtue. Medina has its virtue. And, you know, these places tend to grow on a person. You know, when you leave from Medina to Munawwara, it's that sadness, it's that, you know, you feel a sense of loss. But no sooner you arrive in Mecca, after you make the waf around the Baytullah, you make sa'i between Safa and Marwa, you know, the place grows on you, mashallah. Alhamdulillah. And, you know, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, this is a manifestation of one of the du'as of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. At that time, which is recorded in Surah Ibrahim, in the 13 juz of Quran al-Kareem, when he made du'a to the Almighty Allah, that faj'al af'idatan minan nasi tahwi ilayhim. That, oh Allah, let the hearts of mankind incline towards the Baytullah. The spirit of that is before us today, where millions of fujjaj, you know, at one given time gather on one plane. You know, so no matter how many people of different nationalities, you can, the man standing next to you, you don't understand him, he does not understand you. But the common denominator is the salam that we make. And this is something we need to imbibe in our lives. Let us learn to make salam. Whether you know the person, you don't know this person, you know, make salam. Let us initiate this. And this will bring about that muhabba. This will bring about, there's such disunity in the ummah. You know, like I always say, you know, there's such fragmentation in the ummah. But if there's something that can unite us, it is the kalima la ilaha illallah. That every person who comes to Baytullah, you know, some of them are multi-billionaires, some people are totally ignorant, people who have absolutely nothing. But a person comes with the invitation of Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Subhanallah. So Makkatul Mukarramah, like we had mentioned, you know, it's another amazing, amazing experience, you know, being in the precincts of the Ka'batul Musharrafa.
Alhamdulillah. And well, of course, it's, you know, what's the mood of the people like, especially now, you know, these few days leading up to the Hajj, you know, what are the preparations the Hajjis are making right now? What advices are you sharing with them right now, you know, for them? This, I mean, this is one of the most important journeys of, or event rather, in the lifetime of any Muslim.
Yes, absolutely. This is, you know, it's a life-changing experience for any person who comes on this journey of Hajj. You know, some have been here for many a Haji. It's the first time, perhaps it's the only time that you would come, you know, on this journey. So when they judge, you know, the advices that are given to them, but when they move to Aziziyah, you know, then there are programs that normally take place on a daily basis. There are programs that take place, you know, 4, 5, 6 programs, you know, on a daily basis, just to keep the Hujjaj, just to advise them, you know, in anticipation of the great days of Hajj, because ultimately that is what, you know, we have come here for, you know, to, you know, for the days of Hajj. So to brace ourselves, there are various expectations normally back home. When a person, before he comes, he speaks to so many different people, he takes advice from, you know, 20 different people. Every person has his own opinion on Hajj. Every person would give you his own viewpoint and experience. But we tend to speak about, you know, the positive aspects of Hajj. You know, at the end of the day, this is a spiritual journey. You know, one is the physical journey, just to travel from Medina to Makkah, Makkah to Mina, Arafah, Muzdalifah, to go through the rituals. But, you know, Hajj, there's an added dimension to that. That is the spirituality of this journey. So the focus is more on the spirituality. You know, what lessons do we take? You know, what, when we go to Mina, when you go to Arafah, when you go to Muzdalifah, the day of Arafah, this is an amazing, it's a super amazing day in the life, you know, any Hajj. You speak to any person who has come to the blessed land, you know, the highlight of this journey is the day of Arafah. When you're standing on that land, despite the heat, despite, you know, the conditions, you know, it gets very, very hot, but you feel that proximity to Allah. You know, you feel the closeness to Allah. So what we tend to focus, alhamdulillah, most of the South African groups, they have ulama that accompany the Hujjaj, you know, just to guide the Hujjaj through the journey of Hajj, you know, till they return back home. You know, just to acquaint them with, you know, what to do, what to abstain from, etc. So alhamdulillah, you know, the Hujjaj, many of them attended Hajj seminars back home, attended programs. So we tend to, you know, during the days leading on to Hajj, especially from the first of Zulhijjah, you know, we have intense programs, Hajj classes, you know, and any questions the Hujjaj have, we try and, you know, answer these questions, and just to keep them motivated, you know, in preparation for the blessed days of Hajj.
Inshallah. Mulana, I would love to talk to, a lot to you about the Hajj, you know, leading up to the Hajj, but unfortunately we've run out of time. But please remember us in your du'as to convey our salams to, you know, all the Hujjaj out there, and Allah make it easy for each and every one of you out there, inshallah, and accept, you know, every effort of yours during this time, inshallah.
Yes. Barakallahu feekum, jazakallahu khairan for the opportunity. And, you know, we ask Allah to accept the Hajj of all the Hujjaj. I know there are many, many Hujjaj. You know, we receive messages all the time who were with us last year, the previous years. You know, Allah make it, you know, it's not a good feeling being back home, knowing that last year I was on Arafah. Last year, this time, I was in Makkah al Mukarrama. But nonetheless, you know, when we go back in time, you know, life has to continue. Allah Ta'ala accept our Hajj, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala bring us again and again, you know, to this blessed land. Allah Ta'ala accept. And inshallah, we will remember you and all the listeners in our du'as, and we request you, you know, to remember, you know, all the Hujjaj in your esteemed du'as. Jazakallah khairan, sister, for this opportunity. Inshallah, till we speak to you at, inshallah, before Hajj, we ask Allah to bless each and every one of us and bless each and every one of you, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Please take care, Mulana. Jazakallahu khair. Well, listeners, that was Mulana Mohammed Venka, who is in Makkah Mukarrama, and he just gave us a bit of insight as to what is happening out there. And I think all of us really wish that we could be there, inshallah. But we can. I mean, it's not only for the, you know, for the Hujjaj there, we can also be part of the Hajj, inshallah. But remember us all in your du'as also. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.